Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Saleh for Guidelines for Living.
Do you ever wonder if the 20th century saw all the fabric of social institutions come unraveled so that nothing is an established norm anymore? Perhaps foremost among them is the meaning of marriage. Between 1970 and 1980, the number of couples living together more than tripled. But that was just the beginning. Between 1990 and the turn of the century, the number of unwed partners jumped another 72%. And what is equally distressing is that what is happening is pretty much of a universal phenomenon which cuts across religious beliefs, ethnic lines, age, and national boundaries as well. Researcher George Barna says that born-again Christians are cohabitating without marriage slightly less than those with no faith at all. However, he says they are just as likely to divorce. Catholics, his research suggests, are living together in even greater numbers and are also experiencing broken homes in even greater numbers. This, of course, brings a big question into focus, one that has by and large been neglected. It is this: what does marriage mean? Is it an outmoded institution? Was the young woman right when she told me, "Why bother with getting married? A license is only a piece of paper. It's what we have in our hearts that is important." There is one thing for sure, something which cannot be ignored. From the beginning of history, men and women have, by some ceremony, some act of public commitment and celebration, marking the same by the giving and receiving of something, a ring, a necklace, a piece of fabric, property, or food, come together in what has been termed a wedding. It was religious, social, personal, and public. Moses, as the great lawgiver, recorded that in the beginning God instructed that a man leaves his father and mother, and he be joined together with his wife as one flesh. No, the couple didn't say, "I, Lamech, take you, Ada, to be my lawfully wedded wife." But archaeologists will tell you that among some of the earliest written documents coming from the Tigris-Euphrates River Valley, where civilization probably began, are wedding contracts which spell out in rather significant details the agreement of the bride and groom. These documents were legal and binding, not simple promises whispered in the moment of passion. True, there have always been deviations from the norm, yet the structure of marriage has endured. In Roman days, homosexuality was so prevalent that the meaning of marriage became diluted, so that only in Christian or Jewish communities was it passed from generation to generation with celebration and meaning. Every known society has prescribed marriage as the normal and accepted way of expressing adult love and establishing a family. From the earliest times, marriage has been an important part of man's legal and religious systems. In the early 70s, a post-World War II authority on the family, Dr. Paul Popenoe, said, quote, "No nation survives without it. The basic elements in marriage are matters of social survival. People who want to abolish marriage and family life want to abolish themselves," end quote. The number of children who have never known a father, the growing mountain of statistics which say it doesn't work, and the growing isolation and loneliness of jilted lovers, to say nothing of the irresponsibilities of males who walk out the door leaving broken hearts, is proving it doesn't work. Humankind never changes. Neither does God's direction for us.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.